this summer game fest thing. We got two trailers due tomorrow and also a demo. So there's a lot going on currently. I will not be using my camera today because I'm still sick.
All right.
Oh, yeah, me too. Although at this point, I'm wondering if it's some kind of allergies situation.
Oh, interesting.
Which is like something that's new to me. It's like kind of made its first appearance last year. So I'm not sure when to know what the difference is.
Oh, get some antihistamines.
Oh, yeah. I took Allegra about 30 minutes ago.
Nice. Hopefully it makes you happy, as the name implies.
Well, that picture of Pugsy is still in general.
Mm. Yeah.
That thing.
The space hopper.
Oh.
What's wrong?
Oh, it's long story, but something of a holy grail of a magazine was sold on Mercari in January, and I didn't see it.
Oh, oops. No.
Well, at least it was long enough ago that it wasn't like just now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That would feel worse, I feel.
But yeah. I would hate for you to miss out on a rare magazine because you were recording this podcast. I feel like that should be Phil's job to monitor eBay while you're recording Insert Credit.
Electronics, bae. I noticed an interesting thing recently, which is that a venerable eBay seller, Yamatoku, who has been selling Japanese video games forever, they used to be really expensive. And all their items felt overpriced, but recently they have, I don't know if it's recent, I recently noticed that they've switched over to doing auctions. And so for a lot of games that people don't really know about, you can just wind up getting them for like $5-$10 instead of what, so that's very interesting. But I feel like people started to figure it out like 3 days after I did. Because I was like winning all these auctions for $5 and then suddenly I wasn't anymore. But it's very, very interesting. It doesn't seem like a good business model for them unless they need to clear out inventory or something. But yeah, that was a surprise. eBay surprise.
eBay surprise.
Surprise, surprise. It's eBay surprise.
Another thing I didn't think about at the time with that Minecraft cover. Game Developer Magazine Minecraft cover, is there were a lot of times where we had to make a cover and either knew we were never going to get assets or were promised assets that never came from the company that we were featuring, and had to make do with what we could get permissions for, like someone taking a screenshot that we could then use without usage rights problems. I think that may have been a factor with that one. Doesn't change the color and all that stuff, but in terms of sometimes that was in there. A little puppy.
Yeah, I got
little
my dog
puppy.
Here.
This is little dog.
There she is.
I know that dog.
My beautiful animal.
This dog gets more beautiful every time I see it. It's kind of strange.
It's crazy, isn't it? She's she's currently shedding her. She goes through several cycles of shedding and regrowing hair of quality that gets thicker and thicker. And she's finally getting like her full adult, thick, nasty, like bristly hair. And it's very, very luxurious to pet because it just feels, like the nicest fur coat in the store, you know? Kind of makes me consider, you know, you Google the lifespan of a Pomeranian, and then you start thinking about, you add that number to your current age, and you think, when I'm this old, what kind of hat would I want to wear? You
know? Right.
And you're like, would this be cool? I'm not saying I'm going to turn my dog into a hat, but, you know,
I know
it would
mean.
Be ethically sourced at least. Right. Right? It's about as ethically sourced as a fur hat could get. There's a... Yeah. Right?
Just providing companionship for 12 to 16 years.
Yeah. Oh, did you Google it?
Yeah, I just Googled. Yeah, of course I did.
Very good.
Art thou dead?
I like our shirt. It was really easy. Yeah, I asked the guy who owns the art, can I just sell this? And he said, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really put the art on that work did.
Yeah, I'll link it if you want to see it. I think it's pretty cool.
I saw it earlier today. It looks pretty good.
Oh, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you die in the original Shadowgate.
Yeah, I remember Shadowgate. I remember this goddamn guy.
Yeah, he didn't look like that on the Nintendo.
No, I've messed with Shadowgate.
Not a fan of those games, but
they're very not good. TBH. Yeah.
That's just what we had when we only had the Nintendo. Okay.
I made it's it just a what point adventure of, games were playing all of the versions of Shadowgate. You ever play Shadowgate 64? It kind of sucks. It really sucks. But I played the heck out of that.
There was a weird Shadowgate on the TurboGrafx, I guess.
Yeah. Beyond Shadowgate.
Oh yeah. I played that for a little while, and I did not at the time understand what an adventure game was, and I was like, why can't I do anything?
From the odd time where they decided to abandon computer adventure games and go all in on the TurboGrafx.
Well, I think they got a little
Camp California.
Yeah, they just got a little money from like Turbo Technologies Incorporated or whatever.
Yeah,
and they clearly crapped those games out. They were almost exclusively very poor. I think Beyond Shadowgate was the best one they did.
And then they made Death Valley Rally, which is okay. So they have some weird range.
Yeah.
Death Valley Rally's all right.
Good for them. Okay, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to see why all these right. dogs are barking. I'll talk to you later, Brandon. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for hanging out, everybody. I am going to be gone next week, but I'll be back in time for the podcast.
That's about week.
It. Yeah. Monday through Wednesday, I will be in Harrisburg. So
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
That's correct.
I've been through there.
Yeah.
That's what I said the last time you mentioned Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I said, I've been through there.
True.
All right. Heck of a place to have been through, let me tell you.
Or to have to go through somewhere. I wouldn't mind that one.
Yeah, I don't mind. I stopped at a gas station there once or twice. And, you know what I like at a gas station in Pennsylvania is a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah. That's actually good. That's a good situation for, like, because I don't normally get a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want to be out of your element a little bit.
Yeah, you want to soak in the road trip vibes.
Yeah,
right. So it makes sense. It's a good time. Driving through Pennsylvania kind of sucks if you're driving through like the whole state. You ever do that? You drive through like the whole state one side to the train. Other.
I'm not from where you're from, but I am from around here. And the place I drove through and never in was anywhere in Utah.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't want to stop. You know, you see these billboards with like missionaries on them. It's like, I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I don't like stopping in Oregon because you couldn't pump your own gas last time I was there.
I tried. They got upset.
I want to say, yeah, they yell, get back in the car is what I got yelled at. And I didn't realize I'd crossed state lines the last time it happened. And I was like, God darn it. How did I let this happen again?
There's some arbitrary gas pumping rule in Rochester that I never looked up, but I was yelled at for. I pulled up and it was maybe like 7 p.m. and I need to fill my rental car's tank. And someone came over like a speaker and just kept repeating, no roll-ups after dark.
No roll-ups.
They're talking about fruit roll-up.
What's a roll-up?
Well, that's exactly it. Like, it apparently meant don't pump your own gas, but I was supposed to understand the lexicon of roll-up. I thought he was, like, yelling at someone else because there was someone that was kind of loitering around. So I was like, oh, that guy must have rolled up after dark.
I had
it was
this,
me,
this...
And he said, I'm going to call the cops, was, like, the thing he said after saying no roll-ups after dark.
Wow.
No roll-ups after dark. There's a like. There is something to be said in this world, and if you scroll around to social media, you will know how dire the situation is with regards to clear communication. People, it's interesting how few people communicate clearly. It's interesting how few organizations communicate clearly, and what difference it makes. So saying something like "no roll-ups after dark," and you're talking to a person who's clearly like coming through. Not like a local, right? Like maybe like, do they just think roll-ups is a thing everybody knows about? Like Jaffe says, fruit roll-ups. That's what people think you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. No roll-ups. You wear a fruit by the foot after sunset around here. Right. So it's a really, really phenomenally great example is in my neighborhood. There's this really fancy old apartment building, right? Like really, really fancy, beautiful old late 19th century, upper Manhattan, New York apartment building. And out in front, they have a bunch of flower beds. Okay. On each flower bed is a little sign that says curb your dog, right? Curb your dog. You see these signs everywhere in New York. Little signs that say, curb your dog, curb your dog, curb your dog. And as a double dog owner, I'd never really understand what that means, right? I mean, I kind of get it. But anyway, the place with the beautiful flower beds recently replaced all of their curb your dog signs with huge signs with a picture of a dog with turds falling out of its butthole. That says no poop and pee zone is what it says.
Oh, that's way more direct.
Yeah. So curb your dog, yeah. Curb your dog. And there's just Great Danes just blasting these petunias, yeah. Right? Just blasting them with urine and the pit bulls just dropping god darn choco pies on the ground, mud pies. Right. And then, you know, it's just like, I guess I'll curb my dog if I have to. I don't know. And then, you know, and then I guess they got tired of it. They started putting up surveillance cameras that are just like pointed at the flowers. And then eventually they changed the sign to no poop and pee zone with a picture of a dog with turds falling out of its butt. So
until very recently, there was a great sign around where I live. I never took a picture of it, and it seems to be gone now. It was very professionally printed, looked like an official-ish sign, like something by the county or whatever, you know, posted on an electric pole. And it had a photo, not a photo, like, you know, a line drawing of a barking dog with the circle with the diagonal line over it, you know, like kind of no dog. And the text above it said, no excessive barking.
Well, that rules. They get to define excessive, I guess.
Yeah. I just like that they understand fundamentally that dog's going to bark.
It's what they do.
You know, but just, you know, try to be cool about it. Just don't go too far. Don't bark to excess. Just a mild amount of barking, please.
I got a dog who barks sometimes what I think is almost excessively. And then I got a good one.
Yeah.
I got a good one, and I got a little goblin. He doesn't bark at nothing, though. He only barks at stuff, so, which is, I guess, you know, don't we all, right?
Yeah.
Don't we all bark at stuff, you know? I think any human can be made to bark if you present them with the right reason.
And bark-worthy material, yeah.
I've barked before.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess I gotta go.
Me too. My dad just called, and he doesn't usually call. Oh, gotta find all out right, what
my dad just called, and boy are my arms tired is what I thought you were gonna say. God, the boy are my arms tired is so funny to say after like just any declarative sentence not involving an airplane. It's really funny when it's other types of transportation vehicle. It's like, I just took a Greyhound bus in from Philadelphia, and boy are my arms tired. Yeah, the real ones get it. You know, Zoomers don't know what an airplane is, so they won't get it. They got cell phones. What do they need an airplane for, right?
A third comlinks cable is needed for the third machine, and so on.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what a metagame is.
It's not even a metagame. It's metagame. That's what metagame is. But you know what? I'm looking at these prices.
Yeah.
In this magazine, and pretty reasonable for the time.
For a portable game, kind of.
Wasn't it? Because
That's Game Boy prices.
I think Lynx felt as though they were offering more than Game Boy, so to sell.
Yeah, but they didn't have any market share.
It's true.
So they should have potentially been a little cheaper. Game Boy.
They probably struggled with that because they wanted to present as a premium product.
Mm.
You know, they had color. They had scaling and rotation, and Game Boy was still selling some black and white games at that time.
Only black and white games, yeah.
Was it still only?
Oh, yeah.
I can never remember when the Game Boy Color came about. Was that like 99?
Yeah, it was late 90s, maybe 90, somewhere in like 97 to 99, something like that. This is like...
It was like 95.
93?
Oh, right, 93.
Maybe 92.
It is kind of a shame because the Lynx was actually... Aside from having really low resolution, it was actually pretty decent hardware.
They just didn't have any like developer relations. I mean, it's
right.
I kind of learned it's a lot to talk about with the Jaguar, but having, you know, last year at Portland Retro spoken to a lot of the people who were at Atari working on like producing Jaguar games. That it never would have worked.
Both of them, or just Atari?
Well,
or what?
Mostly the Jaguar, but the Lynx is kind of the same thing. But mostly the Jaguar, in that they only had a stable of like Western developers who only knew how to make like 2D games.
We're
asked to just create, you know, 3D genres in like 4 months.
Yeah, yeah. And they went ahead and put the, you know, the 68,000 chip in there. And they were like, all right, now, guys, only use this for like sound and pass through stuff. Don't put your game on here.
Right.
Don't just make a Genesis game because we know you know how to do that. Don't do it. And then that's what they did because they're like, I don't understand all this nonsense you put in here. I'm going to make a Genesis game. Good times. But yeah, the Jaguar was never going to work because they not only was, you know, they only had Western devs, and they had to, as far as I know, they had to pay them to make games for it because people weren't just doing it.
Right. And let's just be clear. It's not like Japanese developers are better. It's like they had, you know, the people who couldn't make games for Nintendo or Sega.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they were being asked to, you know, basically invent Mario 64 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like 1/8 of the time.
And without tools or a robust SDK or
Or hardware that's even capable.
Yeah, yeah. But on the other hand, the Lynx was very capable hardware.
Yeah, but then you still have the, like, we only can find, you know, Western companies that for whatever reason can't cut it on Nintendo or Sega.
True, though, they at that time they were like, you know, they were making Road Blasters and Rampart and games that were somewhat current. They had the Atari, I think they were still unified, and they had the Atari arcade licenses still.
Mm-hmm.
So they had like some stuff that they could have drawn on and built on but the thing was so expensive. That was why it was good hardware, because it was so expensive. But it was also huge and a battery hog like everything else that was color at the time. It was probably also destined to fail. But it's a shame. One does wonder what would have happened if the Lynx became if they did a home console Lynx instead of a handheld Lynx, which was the original plan.
Oh, was it? I don't know. It's not a very good looking system.
Well, if it were, I think the resolution is the only
issue. Oh, that could be. That could be.
Because again, it can do scaling and rotation and stuff. And in 1993 is like a bridge console. Well, no, 93, it was still probably too.
Well,
too
I think late. It's older than 93. I'm just saying this ad is from 93.
All right. Yeah, well, let's look up when the Lynx came out, because I don't remember.
Wasn't it the Handy Boy or something originally, and it was the General Computer did it?
I don't remember what it was called, but yeah, it was 1989.
Yeah, yeah, and it was the, you know, the Miss Pac-Man folk
for 89. It was really...
Oh, wait, no, it was the Amiga people, not. Sorry.
Yes, yeah, yeah, it
wasn't General Computer, it was Amiga.
Yeah, yeah, it was
Well, Epics. It wasn't Amiga proper, it was the former Amiga
people. Yeah, so Epics were the people. Yeah, it's... And so they, like, there's a path here, potentially, 1989, to have... Yeah, 89, to have, like, a Atari home console that has Amiga developers. Like, you get the Bitmap Brothers and the Oliver Twins...
Well, except that they're all making Sega Genesis games because it's a 68,000 CPU.
Yeah, but so, I think...
And that's why, like, most Western Genesis games are just Amiga games.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there might have been something possible there, but probably not. I don't think, regardless of any speculation, Atari was not in the position to make it successful.
Well, they also didn't have, you know, the budget to just force it through.
Right.
You know, unlike maybe like 3DO. 3DO had a ton of money to force it to happen, and it still didn't work.
Yeah, 3DO is especially interesting because it never worked anywhere, but they got a lot of Japanese games to happen.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, that's still a big time mystery to me. Tim's here.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Lynx.
Yeah, I came in here and first thing I heard was Brandon saying, the 3DO is interesting because, and I'm like, God darn it, man.
Yeah, I saw that happen in real time and that was very exciting to me.
I've been stressed buying video games on eBay.
That's fun. Anything cool?
Yeah, I think like I mentioned, this venerable million plus selling things on eBay person has been putting things at bidding prices. So it's like open auction. And so I've just been getting like games that people are trying to sell for $100 for $7. And so I've got like the PlayStation 1 game God, which I'm interested to try. There's a game called My Garden, which I was always wondering, why is this game so expensive? It's Technosoft's final game. It's their last game on the PlayStation, and it's basically like a Harvest Moon like, and I thought maybe there was something really weird to it, but it's just that it had a low print run. But I got it for a cheap price, so now I can see if it's actually worth keeping or if I should get rid of it. I got some Wonderswan games. I got Hori Fighting Commander for the Super Nintendo, for the Super Famicom, which is fun. What did I get that was really good? I could just go get the box. Double Steel, which is the Reckless, the Yakuza Missions sequel that for Xbox that only came out in Japan.
Wow, what?
Yeah.
All right.
I would have figured it was a sequel to Single Steel.
That's right, but it wasn't. Let me get the box. Let's see if anything in here is cool and worth talking about. I got One Chambara Special for PSP. That's not that exciting. Got a bunch of cool GBA games. I got Ninja Jajamaru-kun for the Wonder Swan. I got this weird Azumanga GBA game that I like. Just a lot of kind of like mid-fun level stuff.
At great prices.
Is it retail therapy if it's eBay?
Yes.
Okay, great.
To me.
I have an eBay cart constantly that's full of trash I don't perceive anybody else would ever want to buy. And every once in a while, I look in at it to see if anything fell off, and almost always nothing did. And then once or twice a year, I go, whoa, and I just press the button.
Yeah.
And it feels like something, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, what's in there right now? Let's see. What's in my eBay cart right now? Here we go. Ready? What's in my eBay cart? Okay. I put this in my eBay cart like literally like a year ago. So here you go. This is in my eBay cart. And it's nobody's bought it. Nobody's bought it. Here you go. It's in the general chat. It's a necktie from the 1940s made of acetate, and it has a weird sort of watercolor illustration of illustration of a griffin on it.
Hand painted in California.
Yeah, yeah. This is a thing that interests me, these sorts of things. So there you go. That's the sort of thing that I end up with a bunch of in my eBay cart. And then it feels like something to go over to eBay and be like, let's look at some of these hand-painted ties and ties and then put one in there.
Well, like I have some 1940s dish towels because I just went, I wonder if there are cheap 1940s dish towels on eBay.
And let me tell you what.
The answer was yeah.
Those 1940s dish towels are going to be a whole lot better than 2020s dish towels, let me tell you.
That was my expectation, and that proved to be true. And
dramatically fewer microplastics.
I have to finish the story because I might have said this on the podcast before because this was a particularly memorable eBay interaction. I got the sweetest "Where is my money?" message ever because I forgot to pay for the dish towels, and the seller sent me a like, "Hey, you know, do you need more time to pay for your 1940s dish towels?" And the seller's name was Grandma G number for you. Grandma G for you. So I apologized to Grandma G and paid her immediately for her 1940s dish towel.
Well, I'm sure she very much appreciated that.
I think that grandma probably shipped your dish towels and then immediately passed away as soon as she put them into the drop box at the post office.
Her final act was, I need to get these out.
She said, oh my. And then Obi-Wan Kenobi, just a pile of clothes on the ground in front of the drop box. She Obi-Wan. Grandma Obi-Wan for you.
I still have my receipt for my payment. It's February 10th, 2012. I have her at AOL.com.
Find it likely to consider her passed, I would say.
I mean, anyone with an AOL email address is dead at this point.
Yeah, that's actually the rule in some states. Check that out. I've been drinking this thing.
Ooh. Bathroom juice.
This Kirkland cold brew coffee. You know what this coffee reminds me of, Frank? It reminds what? Me of reminds me of Japan, where you get a canned coffee, a black coffee, and it tastes kind of okay. Tastes kind of okay.
Kind it's of ice. Okay is, yeah, that's a fair assessment of
they sell
the Kirkland cold brew.
They sell these at the supermarket downstairs for like $4, and I don't even want to Google what it costs at Costco, because I know it's probably like a 24-pack for like $4.99. New York is a nightmare, dude. I'll be right back.
All right.
Got it.
Big Halo fan, Frank. I can tell.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I the extent of my Halo playing is playing Halo 2 with friends in high school once. And playing the PC demo for the original Halo, because I was a poor kid. Mm-hmm. And I was already familiar with Quake, and I was playing Quake and Unreal and Battlefield and stuff, so it just seemed like another game to me.
Okay, got it, yeah.
Do you have fond memories of Blood Gulch?
Yeah, I never played it, and I mean, never even got into the genre of first-person shooter.
Sure.
I kind of felt like my first exposure was GoldenEye. And I thought that was cool. And then sure, I was like, yeah. I get it. Well, no, that's not true. I played Wolfenstein.
Well, now between
Wolfenstein and GoldenEye, I have played them all.
Yeah, that's really the spectrum is every first-person shooter is either a Wolfenstein or a GoldenEye.
Yeah, those are the two. I mean, I've played like, I don't know, BioShock, if you want to count stuff like that. Right? I don't know if that's a first-person shooter or sure, an adventure game. Okay, yeah, then sure. Then I've played with
it. It's in there.
These are Jaffe's questions. There is one more, I would say, first-person shooter adjacent question, but otherwise, we'll be okay.
I think you should play those Wolfensteins, Frank.
Oh, yeah.
They're
quick, too. They're not yeah. super long.
They're breezy. Like it's like the video game equivalent to me of Inglourious Basterds.
Sure.
The Quentin Tarantino movie that you have probably seen.
I actually haven't.
Really?
Yeah.
You should watch that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You should watch it. It's because that's
it's got the tense opening 15 minutes. I'll tell you that.
It's got so it's certainly not as good story wise. I mean, Wolfenstein is not as good story wise as that. But they both have the kind of interesting, good motivations and also Nazi blasting catharsis, basically.
Yeah.
It definitely. Yeah, I do recommend it. I think. It'll be fun.
All right.
I'm guessing they can fix. What do you mean? What do you say fixed? Like, it's not cold.
Our air conditioners are broken.
Brutal.
That's not what you want.
It's 94. If you can't tell from what my hair looks like, it's about 94 degrees.
That's a rough one.
And it's at about 3% humidity as well. So it feels real weird to sweat, I tell you. Real weird. I opened the window to try to let some air in, and it was just... It kind of just felt like a really weak hair dryer, like just kind of like just hot air coming. I got the blackout shades down because it's the only thing that'll stop my stuff from melting.
Shoot.
Living in heck.
It's been bouncing back and forth over here. It was hot last week while I was not here, and now it's back to being like 65.
That ain't bad.
No, it's good. It's good. I assume it will get hot again later, but the summer appears to have been, they've rescheduled it slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it isn't technically summer yet. So.
Right. Well, I guess that would do it.
I always forget that. I just assume summer starts on June.
June is supposed to be summer because that's when E3 is.
Summer Games Fest. Exactly. June 1st, people are all like, the year is half over. And I'm like, I gave up correcting those people years ago.
Yeah.
So same thing.
We all ready?
Hey, yes.
Yep.
Cool.
Man, Destiny 2's final got an expansion out now called The Final Shape. That is so goofy.
Yeah.
That is like so hilarious. The Final Shape.
We're going to run out of shapes at this point.
Speaking of, you know, just
it's a triangle, but it's a little different.
Regular nouns that just have that just become inscrutable with a non-specific adjective. Just put an adjective in front of a regular noun and make it weird. That's the old Destiny secret.
Out of design these days.
Also, in case anyone was wondering, Kingdom Hearts is available on Steam. Now it was just released about 4 minutes ago, so it's available.
It's enticing.
All of them. They put them all on there.
I got a Steam Deck this month, so now I could be playing Kingdom Hearts.
I don't know if that's gonna be better than when I emulated the PS2 version like 5 years ago. And it played perfectly, except sometimes in cutscenes, there would just be a little bit too much on screen. And whoever was talking would slow down, and then they'd be normal again when the camera changed angles. So I don't know that it's going to get better.
Sounds like a feature.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty funny.
Well, the PC version on the Epic Game Store, which I, of course, have, they run really, I mean, I don't know why. They make it look easy. Like, they run so well. You get your 4K 120 FPS without my, you know, without breaking a sweat. And it's just, they just run really nice. And they run really nice that it just makes you wish there were a lot more PS2 games that had Steam ports that just ran at 4K 120 and 16:9. You know, it just makes you wish there were more of those, right?
Well, yeah, I don't think we talked about the static recompilation thing on this show, but you know, that's where I'm hoping people go with PS2, because I think, like the N64, it's just kind of chasing an imaginary dragon to try to perfectly emulate the PS2. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hoping that stuff like the recomp of Majora's Mask makes people understand, like, oh, we can do better than the original hardware.
Yeah. We should probably talk about that on the show at some point.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty neat.
I'll pass it along to Jeff.
Pretty neat
thing.
Yeah,
we should. Because, like, I mean, I have someone, like, I actually really appreciate, too, that, like, of the two videos that I saw about it, both of them at least mentioned Mega Man Legacy Collection, because that's what we did. We did static recompilation and told people about it. So I felt seen by that.
You win.
Yay. Yeah, I invented it and basically, like, did all of it.
You made those games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many PS2 games that it wouldn't be, you know, it would be nice to have those on a modern thing that's just, you know, dressed up a little tiny bit.
Well, no one's ever going to commercially do Raw Danger, but God, it needs it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Raw Danger with 60 FPS or, you know, 30 FPS would be pretty nice. I was looking for
games to emulate on the Steam Deck, and I remember you saying that's one that, like, cutscenes just don't work or something.
Yeah.
It's not cutscenes, but a lot of the effects. Yeah, a lot of the, like, fog and color effects and lighting and stuff that they did is not something that works in, like, hardware emulation mode.
Right.
You can do software emulation mode, but you're just stuck at 480i, and, you know, what's the point?
You know what's real fun is having one of those old PlayStation 2s with an 8 terabyte SSD in it and a HDMI mod and a RetroTINK 4K. That's real fun.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, I'd rather play it with unlocked frame rate in the theoretical future where someone has recompiled it.
Oh, certainly, certainly. But when if you ever find yourself, Frank, if you ever find yourself making, like, 9-hour long YouTube videos, where you have lots and lots of footage of dozens and dozens of PS2 games, and you know that there's just 4 or 5 guys waiting to tell you the aspect ratio is wrong in X game footage from somewhere 6 hours into your video. I recommend the RetroTINK and HDMI modded PlayStation 2 approach, because
awesome.
My footage is unimpeachable. It's indisputable. People try. They try to dispute it. They try to impeach it. But they
don't like the deinterlacing method you use for that particular game.
Yeah,
this other one would have been better.
Yeah,
everybody knows if you just increase the quality of the thing you do, no one will complain anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
We deeply, deeply consider stuff like deinterlacing and we deeply consider all that stuff for each featured game that gets captured. And the procedure is often lengthy and annoying to determine exactly what settings, and then the quadruple, octuple checks that have to happen before commencing gameplay. I just don't enjoy any video games that I capture anymore, because I've got to go down this NASA checklist every time. I'm like, all right, it's time to capture the reference quality gigabyte a minute. It's like 3 gigabytes a minute, this ProRes footage that I get for these things. So it's like I'm sitting there, you know, crouching and you know, just in my video game being like, that crouch is costing me X tens of megabytes, you know, and you know, it gets a little maddening, but
I gotta get out of here, get back to making depressing phone calls, so I'll
I'm gonna go turn,
see you later.
Very good time hanging out. Thank you, have a good
thank
one.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
goodbye.
I did watch that trailer for, like, all the Kingdom Hearts remakes that are on Steam or whatever. And it's just like, it's like this 5-minute trailer showing clips from everything. And it's like, It took about 3 minutes until a Disney character showed up. It was like,
that is,
I only played the first Kingdom Hearts. So to me, I'm like, what is all this?
It's really, that trailer specifically is very funny because they are essentially telling you, this is the order in which you should play the games. But then you buy all three games together and you realize in order to do what's intended, you have to like play like the second game first, then jump to the third, then jump back to the first. Like you can't, they don't even chronologically order the games as you purchase them. It is so freaking weird. So
yeah.
That's funny.
That's pretty wild, yeah.
If we're taking a break, can I have 2.5 seconds to go refill my drink? Okay.
Yep. That's what the break is for.
Yeah, it's for all things liquid. Oh, she's not even here to hear that.
That's the best way to put it, Frank. Patrick already agreed to do the guest segment, so we're good.
Great. I thought it looked right, the Marvel versus Capcom stuff.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
I would have done the Super Nintendo X-Men game in there, but other than that.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I think it's cool they put Punisher in there.
Yeah, actually, as I'm thinking it through, it's like, well, then you got to do War of the Gems, and it's like, where do you stop, right? Yeah, I think just having the one little bonus and keeping it arcade is actually probably right. I think I agree with the approach. Like when I worked on classic game compilation stuff, to me, every one of them was like, okay, what is the sort of theme? What is the purpose of this one? And I think they're doing it right with Marvel vs. Capcom, which is like, this isn't about the history. You know what I mean? These are just games that people want to play. So like, just put all effort into like gameplay. Just do all the matchmaking and like everything people would want. You know, so I like their approach.
Yeah, it looks very player considered.
Frank, there was one question I wanted to ask you. I don't know if you can answer it or not, but it's about Marvel versus Capcom. One of the big things that people noticed in that reveal is that, it wasn't the Nintendo Switch thing, but it's coming to everything, including Steam, but it is specifically not coming to Xbox. And their reason for that, I'm trying to find, it has something to do with like, I'm sorry?
What did they say?
Something to do with like Capcom's like internal engine, and is not very compatible with whatever Microsoft has going on inside the Xbox. And I wanted to know if you knew anything about that or had any.
Well, I don't know anything about Capcom's internal engine, but I think that's just a fancy way of saying no one buys shit on Xbox, so we didn't invest in the technology.
I see. Like there was like there's fair. A specific Capcom's MT framework engine is to blame. Our sources indicate Capcom has no pipeline for porting older MT framework titles to Xbox's modern ERA system, which makes it more expensive.
That just means that, again, they just didn't, they know that nothing sells on Xbox, so they don't bother putting in the resources to make sure their stuff is working well on Xbox, because they're not going to make a version of it.
It's interesting. Hopefully, my connect at Capcom will get me in touch with those devs, and I can ask them outright to see if they have a specific answer that they want to share on the record.
They're not.
And I know they're not, but you know, you have to ask.
All right, we ready to get back to it?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Little Bibby Babbis is here.
Again? I don't think he's missed an episode. He's here every week.
See him back there?
That's him. I do.
I like my little dog. Come here, bedtime boy. I call him bedtime boy lately. If you say
I like
bedtime
him softly
boy.
Out of focus like that.
Yeah, that's in the photography industry, we pay a lot of money for that. We pay a lot of money so that stuff in the background can be naturally. Here you go. He's even more out of focus now. There you go. How's that for out of focus, right?
That's too much. Dude.
That's pretty out of focus.
Yeah, but now I'm really in focus. And,
you really are, yeah.
I am suffering some kind of skin problem that I've never experienced. Mimsy, look at this. You see this? Look how bad this is. What do I do? See that? What is this? It's like worse. Like there's like 100 little red dots here. What is that? Dust mites? What is it?
I don't know.
How come you don't have it if it's dust mites? Maybe you don't have a dust mite allergy, Carl. Consider the possibility that you don't have the same allergies as me. You know, did you know that if you live in the same house as somebody for 7 years, you don't necessarily get the same allergies? Did you know that?
I would have no way of referencing it. I guess.
I'll have to pipe in here then. Yes, I did know that.
They do. They did studies on Navy vessels. The sailors didn't all develop the same allergies. So
let's get back to the show.
I was in a social situation the other day where I said, man, or somebody said, man, it's hot. And then somebody said, oh, it's always this hot in New York, baby. In June, it's always this hot. And I immediately looked at the guy and I said, it's 95 degrees. That is 14 degrees above the 100-year average, dude. And he went, just got all discombobulated. And then another guy goes, well, I only know Celsius. And I went, it's 35 degrees Celsius, you idiot. Learn how to convert. So I had a really good time with that particular con. That's a good, you know, one conversation to understand me, I guess. Is what that was right there. Learn how to, it's not hard. Learn how to convert. Or learn, you know, the way I learned, I didn't learn to convert Celsius to Fahrenheit until shamefully late in my life. I spent about 8 years in Japan where I just learned it case by case. I just learned, what is this? And then you just memorize the number. It's like
the feeling.
It's like, it's 23 degrees Celsius. What's that in Fahrenheit? And then you figure it out and you just put those numbers in your head like multiplication tables.
Yeah, it's not a bad system. There are only so many degrees it can be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, you can always just kind of round it for Fahrenheit anyway because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I only know Celsius.
The only problem with Celsius is that you can't say it's like 100 degrees out there, which is, to me, an important statement to be able to make.
Yeah,
it would kill you in Celsius. So the one thing Fahrenheit has going for it is that 100 degrees is real, and that's a good number for it's extremely hot.
You ever been in one of those 95 degrees saunas, 95 degrees Celsius saunas, where it's like almost boiling? Your sweat is evaporating off your body.
That's I looked at him, but I was not inclined.
If you're near one, just remember how to open the door once you, and then go on in there, and then just go back out. Check it out for a couple seconds. It's neat. It's a sensation. It's a visceral sensation.
Yeah.
On par with, I don't know, spicy food or Dark Souls. Like, I don't know. You take a couple of seconds, see what the fuss is about. And if there's an ice plunge immediately adjacent to it, which is the tradition.
Way.
That is the tradition. You just jump in the ice plunge afterward.
So
it's wonderful.
A big part of the reason I haven't done it, because I know that that's the thing, is because I have that temperature changes give me hives.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've never done it because I'm like, I'm just going to probably get the worst hive outbreak of my life. But it's possible that I could do that and it would just be totally fine because it would be such a difference that my body would just be like, I don't know what this is. But I've been wary and thus have not done it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Could that possibly be what's happening to your face, Tim? Was there like a big temperature change?
No, that's not
for
hives.
You?
Oh, this is, I don't know what's going on here.
It's got a little ratio.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind what you're seeing. It does not look like this.
No.
Off camera. So this is all the HDR camera being tone mapped back to SDR. But if I shine a really bright white light on my face, let's just get nasty with it. There we go. I don't know where this came from. I've never had like oily skin or anything on my face. So it's all new. This is an all new phenomenon for me.
Finally hitting that puberty.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's a discoloration. You see, it's like red. Mm-hmm. It's like jaundiced looking here. Nosferatu-esque here. Like, I don't understand it. I just need one heck of a cinematographer if I go on camera, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You got to use the McCandless technique, as they call it. Put a little micro, a little makeup on there. A little makeup, little green makeup will do it just fine. Mm-hmm. Green makeup. That's the secret. We're gonna zoom that back out. I'm gonna throw up.
All right, I gotta go, and I'll. Right,
Brandon, thanks for hanging
out. Talk to you all soon. Bye for now.
Next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. All right.